Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Wednesday, October 31st, Halloween 2012. We are live each weekday from noon to 1, right here on the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're live streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com, and you can hear our programs anytime, anywhere by visiting my website, buckmastershow.com. We also post the program every afternoon, usually by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, to tucsonsentinel.com and tucsoncitizen.com. Plus, there are now links to the Buckmaster Show on the homepage of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Their website is gvnews.com. Also, the homepage for Blog for Arizona has a link to our show. That's blogforarizona.com. Over the next hour, we'll talk with Mary Davis. Mary is the Senior Director of Business Development and Marketing for the Tucson Airport Authority. Mary will give us an update on air travel. It has been a tough week for travelers who are heading to the northeastern part of the United States, thanks to Sandy. At 20 minutes past the hour, a new study on Arizona's future water supply. Will there be enough water for agriculture? At 30 minutes past the hour, Guy Gelbert, he is the Israel Center Director at the Tucson Jewish Community Center, will join us. Then we'll close out the show with the newest contributor to the Buckmaster Show lineup. There are now more than 24 folks who contribute regularly to our program. We now have a sports contributor who will be covering the Wildcats. He is Anthony Jimino of TucsonCitizen.com. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can join us at any time on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 or submit your questions using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page, which is Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Mary Davis joining us now from Tucson International Airport. Mary, good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, happy Halloween to you. I'm glad you came all dressed up for the show today. You're looking like a Franciscan friar.
Yeah, that's exactly right. A little graveyard monk going on here.
Aren't you glad, and I know I am, that I am not traveling back to the Northeast?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it's really devastating what's gone on back there, not only with respect to air service, but just such a devastating storm. Hopefully we'll never see another one in our lifetime like this one.
Yeah, I hope not. 20,000 cancellations. And just to give folks some idea, that's a lot of cancellations. After 9/11, there were some 100,000. And of course, the whole system was shut down. So you can see 20,000's a lot of air service that's been disrupted. For Tucson travelers who were trying to make connections, pretty much they could get to Chicago or Dallas
or Atlanta.
Yeah, right. The Atlanta service, the twice daily nonstop out of TIA, has been on time. And it's just that going to the Northeast that's been the problem.
Right. If you were connecting anywhere beyond, you know, this is one of the advantages of TIA serving the major hubs as we do, as opposed to some of those longer distance, smaller markets. We could get folks to the major hubs, and then really the limitations were in the Northeast, as you said. But a lot of folks were able to still get where they needed to go. We had very minimal impact on our travel over the last few days. So we're very fortunate.
Yeah, and if folks are thinking about traveling to the Northeast, it could take Mary Davis a few days to sort this out. New York Airport, Kennedy, is got some limited operations. Newark, LaGuardia still has water on the runways and damage, they've got to assess that. But other airports in the Northeast are open now to traffic, so it'd take a while to sort the system out.
Yeah, we've been working with our professional organization And staying up to speed with what the Northeast airports are doing. And most of them are now operationally, you know, moving forward again. Not all flights are restored, of course, and it's going to take, as you said, probably about a week, I would say.
How does it look? We're now about 10 months into this year. We'll be closing the books here on October. How does the air traffic moving through the Tucson International Airport look to date right now?
Well, we're consistently down this year. The majority of that is due to capacity reductions that we're seeing from the airlines. They continue to constrain capacity to maintain, you know, as much profitability as they can across the country. So we're very much in tune with other airports our size. But even the larger hubs are starting to see some passenger reductions as a result of those capacity constraints. You know, their airlines, as we've been meeting with them over the last several months, it's really about how to best utilize their fleet and put it in the routes where they know they'll get not only the high load factors, but the fares that will allow them to cover the expenses. Fuel remains volatile in the airline industry. It remains expensive. It's still about 40% of their operating costs. So they have to make the adjustments that we've seen them making now for the past 2 years, and that's going to continue.
And folks who were afraid perhaps that the fares would be prohibited over Thanksgiving, I did some checking, and I couldn't believe it. Southwest has a great sale going on right now out of Tucson over the Thanksgiving holiday. You know, Some people think, well, maybe it's really, really expensive, but it's very competitive.
No, but I would encourage, if you're making your holiday travel plans, whether it be for Thanksgiving or any time in the month of December, now is a good time. Again, going back to those capacity constraints, there are good fares out there. We've also checked, you know, in some of our major hub services like Chicago, like Los Angeles, and even as far as New York. And you're finding, you know, within a $250 to a $650 range is going to be the average depending on the distance. But those seats are going to go fast. So we are encouraging the public to really get out there and make their travel plans earlier while there are still plenty of seats to choose from.
Mary Davis is with us from Tucson International Airport. And Mary and her colleagues, it's always a challenge for them to try to tell people, listen, it's very cost competitive. Rather than drive up to Phoenix, just fly out of Tucson International Airport. And we were talking before we went on the air, surprisingly, people drive up to Phoenix to fly to San Diego. I mean, yeah, folks can say that maybe our air service isn't as good here in Tucson as Phoenix, but certainly to San Diego, we're in great shape.
We have more than six flights a day in terms of frequency throughout the day.
What percentage of people actually from Tucson do you think drive up to Phoenix to go to San Diego?
Well, we just, as you know, we just completed a business travel demand survey working with the business community and some of the professional groups like the Chamber and TRIO, and about 30% of the respondents there fly out of another airport to get to places like San Diego. And I've actually put out a call to the community. I would love to hear what the individual choice factors are to those numbers. We can see the data. So I'm encouraging people to write, you know, send me an email or call me in my office at 573-4840 and let's have a conversation, because in order for us to have that better conversation with the airline to get more service, we really need to know where the community's perspective is on some of these destinations. We know the New York and the Washingtons are important, but when we start seeing numbers like that in the San Diego segments of what we offer, it really is puzzling. And so we need to better understand how our community is thinking when they're making some of those decisions. So you'll see us doing a lot more community outreach as we try to find out these questions.
Yeah, I mean, you want to know why. And give us your email, too, where folks can email you and answer that question. Perhaps they're a traveler who goes up to Phoenix to fly to San Diego. I'd be curious. I'd like to know right now if someone wants to even call us, if they're one of those people, and that they would drive up to Phoenix. I'm curious why anybody would do that when you can support the local people who work at the Tucson International Airport, and you can drive. There's plenty of parking. You can get on a plane, and you can be in San Diego in 45 minutes.
Right. Yeah, it's a head scratcher for that particular route, for sure. My email is mdavis, D-A-V-I-S, at tucsonairport.org.
Mary, I'm going to have you slip on this headset here so we'll be able to hear one of the callers to the Buckmaster Show. And I think we have Rick Grinnell with us. Rick, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment. I fly out of Tucson as much as I absolutely can. But, you know, there's a perception, I think, more than a reality to the cost savings coming out of Phoenix. And I think an awareness by TIA as to the actual flights in comparison to Phoenix and doing a chart. I mean, just the gas I save by not going to Phoenix alone is worth, not to mention the time and energy. But those are the things that it's a perception, and I don't think people really understand this. And I find it all the time when I get on a plane or if I'm going, I don't like going to Phoenix any more than I have to. And yet people seem to, there's a perception it's cheaper out of Phoenix when in reality it isn't.
Yeah, good point, Rick. And that perception sometimes is so hard to break.
It is. And Rick, I appreciate you calling in, and we absolutely appreciate you flying out of TIA as much as you can. And we understand that's not always possible. You know, Phoenix serves a market of over 5 million people. It's one of the largest hubs in the country, and it's served by two low-cost, low-fare carriers. So we're never going to be a Phoenix, but we do the best that we can with what we have. There is a tool on the homepage of our website at Fly Tucson Airport. It's called the cost calculator, and you can actually plug in the fares, plug in the estimated gas cost, plug in baggage fees that you might be facing depending on the airline that you're going to be flying on, and actually do that cost comparison before you make that ticket decision. And there are a lot of other tools out there that can help you do some of those airfare comparisons and then factoring those additional costs. And always the bottom line is, what's your time worth? And I always tell people when you're going on vacation, it seems like a great idea to fly out of Phoenix. But then when you come home 7 days later and you've got to get your bags and you've got to get back to your car and you've got to take that
two-hour drive home,
you know, maybe it didn't seem like such a good idea. Yeah. Phoenix has got a lot of assets that we don't have. And certainly I know they're working to improve their international travel opportunities. And they're a good partner. There are between 9 and 12 flights a day on U.S. Airways between Tucson and Phoenix. And so if flying is the preference, we certainly encourage that as well. They're an important partner, and we want to keep them supported as well.
FlyTucsonAirport.com is the website. Mary, we're quickly running out of time, but there was some news since we last talked about the airport, and we like to talk about the airport regularly here on the program. I'm excited about this solar panel garage that's coming.
So are we.
Yeah.
So are we.
Shady parking.
Yeah. It's going to have green walls and about 20-foot high ceilings, so it's not going to be, you know, one of those low-ceilinged facilities. And we're very excited. We're honored that the FAA saw fit to give us the Vail grant and working with Department of Transportation to do the match. So we're very excited.
Okay, Mary, we like to have someone from the airport with us on the Buckmaster Show regularly, and we really appreciate you coming on the program. We urge everybody to fly locally wherever and whenever possible.
Thank you, Bill. We always enjoy coming to see you.
Thanks a lot. 12:18 now on the Buckmaster Show. What are we going to do about water and agriculture in this state? That's next on the Midweek Edition. We hope it's an addiction for you, the Buckmaster Show.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowland Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members, we reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Current projects include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than two file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
Well, 21. This is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, the voice in Tucson. Also want to direct you to buckmastershow.com. That's the place where we post the program every day. There's all sorts of information there about the contributors to this program. Well, Arizona is well into the second decade of drought, and climate scientists at the University of Arizona are concerned that we are now in what they're calling a mega drought. So where will the water come from for agriculture in our state? Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line is Karen Smith. Karen was the former deputy director of water resources here in Arizona. She is now a fellow for the Phoenix-based Grand Canyon Institute. Grand Canyon Institute is a nonprofit centrist think tank made up of former state lawmakers, economists, community leaders, and academics. Karen Smith is the author of a new study for Grand Canyon Institute titled The Third Way, Accommodating Agriculture and Urban Growth. She joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line from Phoenix. Karen, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Tell me a little bit about why you did this study.
As I participated over many years in our discussions about water resources in Arizona, the discussion centered on two choices, it seemed to me. You either had water for urban growth or you had water for agriculture, but there was insufficient dialogue about trying to accommodate both. And so that, the more I learned about our need for increased agricultural production globally and our own water resource situation in Arizona and the Southwest, it just seemed to me that there was a way to try and manage to have both agriculture and urban growth in Arizona.
And the argument about water, you're right, it is framed in that way. It's an either-or situation. Either we're going to have it for the people who live in the cities, or we're going to have it for agriculture, but we can't have both. So how can we reach a compromise, if you will?
Well, I believe that we can manage to have both if we all use water more efficiently. And that seems like an easy thing to say, and of course it's much harder to do. But across our state, Tucson perhaps being the exception, we don't use water as efficiently as we might. Agriculture doesn't use water as efficiently as it might, and urban uses here in the metropolitan Phoenix area and other areas certainly aren't using water as efficiently as we could. And when I looked at the water Arizona agriculture used, seeing if it could save even 10% would salvage, if you will, 500,000 acre-feet of water. That's enough for about 2 million people. So it seemed to me that if we could focus our attention less on let's not have agriculture, but more on how can we farm more efficiently, use less water, increase our crop yield, and how can we as urban users become more efficient in our water use so that as we move forward in time, we can all live on less water than we're using today.
Are the agricultural users, do you think, would they be open to this, trying to cut their water usage by 10%?
Well, I think that they'll need to be open to it. And certainly there are many farmers in Arizona today who are using water very efficiently. There are others who water is very inexpensive, and so there hasn't been an economic or regulatory requirement sufficient to have them think about using water more efficiently. We're going to have to move in a direction, I believe, that gives some incentive as well as refocusing our water regulations to move water efficiency more to the forefront.
Dr. Karen Smith is with us. She is a fellow at the Grand Canyon Institute based in Phoenix, and she has a study out called The Third Way, Accommodating Agriculture and Urban Growth. One of the things you bring in to this study, Dr. Smith, is that just using the improved drip irrigation system that many of us here in Tucson are very familiar with because we use it in our gardens at home really could help the big agricultural interests save a lot of water, couldn't it?
Well, it could, and there is a large farm in Pinal County near Coolidge, the Howard Wirtz's farm, and they actually use drip irrigation for cotton, for wheat, and they started to use it on alfalfa. They've conserved water, they've increased yields, and the system pays for itself in 3 to 5 years, which is, you know, that is a reasonable period of time to recover your investment. So we know it works. We've seen it work here in Arizona with subsurface drip for large-scale agriculture. It does require an upfront investment, but it does work, and we can do more of those kinds of things to save water.
What are some of the other policy changes that you recommended in the study?
Well, in looking at what we do now with regulating water use in agriculture, we really simply focus on land use. So we say no more land in agriculture in our active management areas, and that's how we strive to manage water use by agriculture. We really need to think about a different way to do that. And my own recommendation is to take the voluntary best management practices that are in place that look at things like irrigation scheduling, soil moisture sensors, things like drip irrigation. These are all best practices that are known and have been out there for years. And instead of having that be a voluntary program.
Dr. Smith, we have a caller. I want to work David in quickly, David. Go ahead, David. You're with us on the Buckmaster Show.
I'll try to make it brief, but when we harden the demand by using water more efficiently, the problem is that when the droughts come, we have no way of cutting back, such as when we convert farmland into urban use and have very efficient water use, and we grow our population, that is, we get people to cut back water use and use water more efficiently, so we can grow the population, have more people here. Then when the droughts come, we don't have any way to cut back off. Most of the water use is being used by agriculture. They can fallow the farm fields when the droughts come.
Okay, go ahead, Karen Smith.
Well, I think that there is something to that argument, but I guess I would argue that what we want to do is not eliminate agriculture as being a buffer for our water resource needs during drought. It is a bit more complicated, though, as I've learned, than simply to say we're going to fallow land. There are reasons why a farmer wouldn't do that on a short-term basis. But having said that, investing in agriculture, having that water available to us in times of really severe drought where we would see cutbacks in CAP water for our urban areas, as an example,
gotta go.
I think it is important.
Karen Smith, thank you very much.
President Obama and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie have been looking at New Jersey's coastal hurricane damage from aboard Mr. Obama's Marine One helicopter. Parts of New York's crippled subway system will be operating again tomorrow with limited service. Officials say there will be fleets of buses to fill the gaps. For now, there will not be any subway service in Manhattan south of 34th Street. That's an area that includes the Financial District. Officials in Hoboken, New Jersey, say at least 25% of the city on the Hudson River across from Manhattan remains underwater. The public safety director estimates at least 20,000 people are stranded and says that most are being encouraged to shelter in place until the floodwaters recede. Wall Street, the Dow is up 11 points, the Nasdaq down 11. More details at srnnews.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique silk and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowell and Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:34, and this portion of the program is brought to you by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3.5 hours east of Tucson, hike along the Continental Divide Trail, go birding along the Gila River, fish at Lake Roberts, and visit the world-class collection of Mimbres pottery. I've been over there to see this collection. It is unbelievable at Western New Mexico University in historic Silver City. So many places to stay, the Burro Mountain Homestead RV Park, Bear Mountain Lodge, Little Toad Creek Inn, the whole list goes on, and you can find out more about Silver City in Grant County. We urge you to visit their fine website at southwestnewmexico.org. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Guy Gelbert, director of the Israel Center. The center is a joint project of the Jewish Federation of Southern Arizona and the Jewish Community Center in Tucson. Guy is also a senior community, let me see if I can pronounce this, Shaliach. Okay. All right. I gotcha. Which is like a kind of community ombudsman, something like that? Or
how emissary. Would you just,
emissary. And it's and you have been in Tucson, this will be coming up now, 3 years. And your term will be up, as they say, huh?
Yes. This is my third year here in Tucson. I'm here until the summer. And then I'm going back home.
We're going to miss you because you have made so many friends and connections in this community. You've done a great job. And I know it's been very busy for you the last week or so. You've been involved with hosting the visit of the former Israel's former ambassador to the United States, Ambassador Rabinovich. And he spoke to a packed house, over 400 people, at the JCC on Monday night. And what was his message, Guy?
Mr. Rabinovich is an expert on Middle East issues. He's been the president of the Tel Aviv University, and his main area of research was the Middle East. His talk focused on Iran and the possibilities that come to life of Iran turning nuclear. One of the main points that he made is that once Iran will become nuclear, Iran will gain immunity, kind of like North Korea have today. One needs to imagine, for example, the situation of Saddam Hussein waiting, instead of invading Kuwait when he did, waiting to gain nuclear capabilities and only then invading Kuwait and other Arab countries around it that control oil. You know, imagine yourself a situation where Iran gains control of most of the oil in the Middle East, over 30% of the world's oil, and gas prices in the U.S. rise to $10 or $15 a gallon. That's only one scenario. Of course, the other scenario would be that other countries in the region will also work their way to gain nuclear capabilities. Saudi can definitely buy nuclear weapons out there once they know that Iran will have some. Turkey will work its way to a nuclear capability. Egypt will work its way. So we're basically talking about an opening of a nuclear race in a region that is very unstable, where regimes are being changed with power taking over and things like that. Also, that deep connection that Iran have to terrorist groups like the Hamas, like the Hezbollah, and even connections to countries in South America, you know, that's a huge concern. One of the concepts that the U.S. had in the Cold War with Russia, with the Soviet Union, was this strategy of MAD, mutual assurance destruction. But this strategy assumes that you have a return address on a bomb.
Right.
With
right.
Iran, that scenario might not work. The bomb might be coming through some terrorist group on a civil cargo on a ship to the port of New York, and you don't know who sent the bomb. The Iranians will say, well, it's not us.
Mm-hmm. So where does it leave us? What was the professor's suggestion? What does he think Israel should do?
I think the main point is that the issue shouldn't be perceived as the issue that Israel needs to handle. I think, and I think both President Obama and Governor Romney mentioned that on their last debate. Both of them agreed a nuclear Iran is a national threat to the United States, not only to Israel. It's not a matter that, well, if I was American, I wouldn't want to leave this matter to the hands of Israel. Israel might take care of it at the amount that Israel can, but to really solve the issue, to really prevent Iran from becoming nuclear, you know, I'm not sure that Israel is capable of.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it would, and some of the military folks we have talked to say it would have to be something of a joint operation. The United States and Israel and perhaps other allies would have to be involved.
I think that, you know, a military option is probably the last option on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I think there might be options before going into a military operations, but in order for the Iranians to believe that the threat is real and that they need to change course, it needs to be real. You need to have preparations. They need to see that you have forces in the Gulf area, that you are really serious, that you're not just talking, that you show that you move powers around, and that when you're talking about sanctions, you make sure the sanctions are real and deep. And maybe, just maybe, if it will come to the place where those sanctions are really threatening their regime, they might change course and leave this concept of a nuclear program. Probably along the way, whether it's the U.S. or other countries, would need to offer the Iranians some kind of letter to go down, you know, to
I know you're very excited on a lighter note about an Israeli author, a well-known Israeli author who will be in Tucson speaking about Israel, the power of a story. November 9th, is that what November 9th is her appearance? A couple of appearances.
Yes, Dr. Adina Bar-El is an Israeli author. She works at Tel Aviv University and researches Hebrew literature for children. She will give several talks around Tucson. The two main ones that are open to the public is a breakfast talk that we'll be giving at the Jewish Community Center on 3800 East River Road at November 9 from 7:30 a.m. in the morning. The topic of this talk will be Israel, the power of a story. The other talk, more academic talk, on Jewish children periodicals in Poland would be giving on November 7th at 4 p.m. at the U of A Hillel Foundation on the corner of Mountain and 2nd Street. The interesting story about Dr. Adina Bar-El, Adina Bar-El comes from our partnership region at Chof Ashkelon. That's a long-going partnership that Tucson has with a region in Israel. And her region is the region that borders with the Gaza Strip from the north. At the last week, for example, the area where she lives in was hit by over 100 rockets that were shot by terrorists from the Gaza Strip. And, you know, this is something that we don't often even hear at the news. 100 rockets is something huge. It's you can't sleep.
Yeah,
you can't
It didn't get that much media attention in this country. Can you take a quick call? Someone did want to talk about Iran. If you'll slip that the headset on over there, Guy Gelbert is with us from the Israel Center. And Richard now, you're up next. Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. I just want to say that, you know, the sanctions that President Obama has aggressively initiated and worked very hard to initiate are working in Iran. Their economy is crumbling. Their people are very distraught and upset about it. They have much internal strife and conflict. The previous Secretary of Defense of our nation, under George Bush and for Barack Obama for a while, has said that attacking Iran would be a tremendous mistake for the United States. We here in the United States believe that we can find a way to peace with Iran. We don't think that we have to go to war with Iran. They could hit us with a cyber attack. They could box up the Straits of Hormuz. Gasoline could climb to $10 a gallon. We'll be in a depression. Just to satisfy Israel's age-old religious hatred. And, you know, my suggestion to Israel is, up in the heartland of America, double your efforts to make peace. Don't drag us into a war.
Okay, Richard.
Get busy trying to make peace. Work much harder at it, okay?
Thank you, Richard, for your comment. Let's hear what Guy has, his reaction to it. Go ahead, Guy.
Thank you, Richard, for your comment. I will point out that Israel doesn't have any religious hatred, not to Iran and not to other countries in the region. Keep in mind that Israel is a very secular country. Most of the Jews that live in Israel refer to their Judaism as their nationality and not as a religion or a matter of faith. Having that said, it's need to be mentioned that in order for Iran to really change course and leave the hope to gain nuclear weapons, they need to feel that there is a real threat on the table. The sanctions that are currently in place are definitely good. They are the right way, and I do hope they will work. Personally, I suspect that without a real threat in place, without the Iranians believing that the U.S., Israel, Europe, and other countries are really walking the talk, they won't change course. The sanctions themselves won't work unless they are supported by actions on the ground.
Guy Gilbert, thank you very much. Guy, director of the Israel Center, a joint project of the Jewish Federation of Southern Arizona and the Jewish Community Center in Tucson. For more information about the author we've been talking about who will be in town, Dr. Adina Bar-El, did I get that correct?
You did.
Okay. I would go to the JewishTucson.org. Is that the best place for more information?
Yes, it is. JewishTucson.org. It's the best place to see information about this event and other events at the Jewish community of Tucson.
Guy, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, a busy midweek edition coming up on 12:50. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community for adults 55 and better. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. One of the things we're very proud of here on the Buckmaster Show is our very impressive list of contributors. These are people who contribute to this program on a regular basis, and I'm happy to announce we are now going to be delving into sports on a regular basis here. We have a Wildcat contributor now. He is Anthony Jimeno joining us. Anthony, good to see you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Bill.
Anthony Jimeno has been a sports journalist who has spent much of the past two decades covering UA athletics, including covering the football beat for the Arizona Daily Star. Most recently, he was the sports columnist at Tucson Citizen, and in between, he was the college football editor at CBSSportsLine.com, and he still maintains a national presence as senior editor for Lindy's Football Annals. How did Lindy's pick the Wildcats this year, AG?
We picked Arizona, probably I think about like 57th in the country, to finish fourth in the Pac-12 South, which, who knows, they could still finish fourth in the Pac-12 South.
Yeah, I mean,
they could also finish first. So a long way to go, but so far definitely exceeded my personal expectations and probably most. You know, there's always some very optimistic fans, and I've heard from some who have said, yeah, I always thought this was going to be an 8-win season. Okay, yeah. Great faith is a great thing to have. But I think for most of us, Arizona's doing much better than expected.
Yeah, I think they're the best 5-3 team possibly in the country. They're back into the top 25. And you look at the schedule, very favorable. I think there isn't a game on that schedule that the Wildcats could not be very competitive in and could win. Even ASU had a fantastic start, and they're very suspect right now.
Yeah, this week's game at UCLA is essentially a toss-up. Arizona will come back home to play Colorado, which is a game they absolutely should win. The Buffaloes are not only being talked about as the worst team in the league, there's discussion that they may be one of the worst teams in the pack. Yeah, in the last 30 years at least, and some of those really, really terrible Oregon State teams of the 1980s.
But we go up to Utah, right?
That would be a very difficult game. They play Utah at Utah on November 17th. The weather could be anything. We don't know yet if it's going to be a day game, night game. And then after that, again, that's probably a toss-up game. And then you finish at home against Arizona State, which is the definition of a toss-up game, considering the last three games have come down to the final play.
Yeah, I mean,
so I think Arizona's flipping coins a few times here. But there's certainly no game that they are going to be completely outclassed in.
And, of course, to go to a bowl game, you must win six games. We will not have trouble reaching that six-game level, I suspect. And the preseason picks had put us in the bowl over in New Mexico and Albuquerque. But I think we may be able to do a little better than that.
Yeah, it looks, if you projected it right now, that Arizona would finish a little bit above the New Mexico level, which is the last bowl in the Pac-12 order. The seventh eligible team goes to the bowl in Albuquerque. Right now, Arizona's more in the – as you go up the list, there's a bowl in San Francisco, the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl. Above that's the Las Vegas Bowl.
What Hunger Bowl was that?
The Kraft Fight
Kraft,
Hunger Bowl.
Like
yes.
Kraft cheese?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. It's a sponsor.
All right. It's always interesting, isn't it? Some of these bowls, they
all have sponsors. They're all – you know, the Las Vegas Bowl technically is not the Las Vegas Bowl. It's the Mako Bowl, Las Vegas. So, you know, sometimes the sponsors are clever and put their actual name into the official bowl title. But Arizona might go back to, for example, the Sun Bowl in El Paso, which they haven't been to since 1992. It's been 20 years.
Oh, my goodness, 92. I think I actually was over there for that game.
Who were
the Cats playing? Do you recall?
They played Baylor.
I was at that game at the Sun Bowl. It's been that long. My goodness. A couple of questions that I have about this season, AG, Anthony Jimeno. First of all, Matt Scott, he's had a great season. He's a senior. Thank goodness he redshirted, so we actually had him. But I wonder how much of this high power offense is Matt Scott and how much of it are the other players who will be building for when Matt is gone next year?
Yeah, that's going to be a really key question as we look towards the future, 2013. Certainly a Rich Rodriguez offense puts as much or more onus on the quarterback than most systems. So he's been a huge part of that. And right now, it'll be a free-for-all in the spring when he's gone. Right now, the backup is a junior college transfer named B.J. Danker,
who got a couple of snaps after Matt came out. There was some concern about a concussion. I mean, that was I saw that on the TV. That was a horrible hit that he took there. And some people were questioning, well, why in the world wasn't he pulled immediately? But was it ever concluded that he did have a concussion?
Arizona has not said one way or the other whether he had a concussion, whether he failed or passed a concussion test. And that was really the controversy for 48 hours. Did Arizona follow protocol with Matt in terms
by
of
keeping
him
actually in for a few snaps, which led to that right. the game-winning touchdown.
But
others were questioning mm-hmm. if indeed, because he was vomiting after he was hit, and that's a sign of a concussion. Some were questioning, okay, he should have come out immediately. That should have been the end of the day for him.
That is the question, and the fact that he was okay Sunday, the fact that Matt. You know, they put Matt in front of the press on Monday, which they never do with an injured player. Injured players are off limits for interviews. Tells you that it seems to me that it's doubtful he actually had a concussion, which is different actually than the question of did Arizona follow protocol.
Right.
But he's fine to go.
Other question I have has just been about attendance. I find the attendance this year at the games disappointing. I think some of it has to do, as Greg Hansen pointed out a couple of weeks ago, the timing, our night games, getting over. Games are going longer with the TV timeouts. People not getting home till after midnight. I don't know how much that plays into it, but I think attendance has been disappointing. Wouldn't you agree?
I have been disappointed. And traditionally, Arizona football fans have taken a wait-and-see approach. We saw this a lot through the 90s, where Arizona's like in 1998 when they had a 12-1 team, very good. The attendance boost came the following year. The difference is Arizona fans, and I give them a lot of credit, Tucson really bought into Mike Stoops,
mm-hmm.
came out in record numbers at Arizona Stadium for Mike Stoops' teams. And I think what we're seeing now may be, we got our heart broken. We got disappointed a little bit there at the end. Now I'm going to go back to the wait-and-see approach.
Yeah.
But there are several factors. The night games, the number of home games, 8 of them. I think there's a little bit of fan mm-hmm. fatigue. The fact that the north end zone is closed. Under
parking may be a problem.
Parking's
for
always a trouble. There's a lot of reasons.
Got 30 seconds with Anthony Jimeno. Prediction, you got UCLA and UA evenly matched, both in the top 25. Give us your prediction, Anthony.
I like Arizona. I don't think UCLA can necessarily attack Arizona's weakness. which may be along the defensive front, because UCLA's offensive line is not particularly good. So I think Arizona, high scoring and close once again.
I would agree with him. Anthony Jimeno will be a regular on the Buckmaster Show, our contributor on Wildcat Sports. Thank you, Anthony, for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show. We really appreciate their water. Culligan Water, offering the best drinking water, the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. We appreciate them, and the water really does. It just simply tastes better. That's why we like Culligan Water. John C. Scott comes up at 4 this afternoon. The Local Talk continues. John is the dean of Local Talk from 4 to 5. Then tomorrow morning, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. They'll be talking about the Tucson Police Foundation's Cops and Rodders car show that's coming up at High Corbett Field. They'll be discussing that and more tomorrow on Wake Up Tucson. Want to remind everybody that all of our debates that we had during the political season, I think there's almost a dozen of them that have been posted to the KVOI.com website. So if you're still trying to decide who to vote for locally, you might want to check out the Buckmaster Show debates. That will do it for our midweek edition. We'll be back with you tomorrow at noon. Hope you have a great and a very safe Halloween. Have a great day.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.